Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofits all across the country to translate your vision into reality. Welcoming everybody back to another exciting episode of the podcast. Joining us today is Beth Napleton. Beth is the founder of Leveled Up Leadership. And Beth and I are going to be talking today about coaching, about developing leaders, and particularly the use of strengths assessments, the use of assessments as a tool to be able to better understand yourself as a leader, better understand your teammates, your team members, and how you can work more effectively and cohesively as a group. Beth, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Greg. I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you join us. Beth, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I currently run Leveled Up Leadership, which is a leadership coaching and consulting group. I work with leaders primarily in the education and education adjacent space. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners and nonprofits are in schools or work with schools as well. And before that, I was a teacher, a principal. I founded a small charter school network. I've kind of had all the hats and done all the roles. And so one of the reasons I went off on my own is because I know how challenging leadership can be, how lonely it can feel, and just how important it can be to kind of sometimes get a helping hand on that journey. And so that's how we founded Leveled Up, to help people when they feel stuck in their journey, help them get unstuck.
And Beth, when you're working with leaders in that coaching space, what are some of the, and maybe it's specific to education, but maybe not, what are some of the most common issues or topics that come up within that coaching engagement, typically?
Absolutely. Leaders? So I think that actually there's a lot that's really universal. And even my friends who work in like corporate America or law firms see that. And I think that it really is about, you know, I always say that when I work in schools, it's the adult problems that get in the way of students thriving. And nobody ever says, what do you mean? Right? People start talking about the teacher's lounge and toxicity and who does this and talking behind your back. And I think that, you know, managing people and leading them is, there are two separate and distinct real skills. And often in organizations, especially in nonprofits where we're, you know, kind of constantly wearing a lot of hats, there's not really a development pipeline. So you kind of learn on the job. And that can be really difficult when you're working with adults and with humans, and humans are very complicated. And so a lot of what we work on in our coaching is about kind of making change through others, managing through layers, how, right? Like sometimes people are okay at managing someone directly, but now I'm managing someone who manages a team. What do I do? And a lot of the kind of, you know, just human problems that come up, because no matter which way around it, like there's no way to reach our mission without humans, right? No matter what you do, you're going to need some humans, and humans are sometimes stubborn.
No, and you don't say. So, yeah, as a stubborn human, I can agree with you on that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And Beth, I do a fair amount of coaching myself, and I've often found through the years that leaders are pretty self-aware when it comes to their weaknesses or their challenges, mm-hmm. The areas that they want to develop about themselves personally or professionally. I find that leaders are often far less comfortable talking about their strengths and identifying, yes, what are the 2, 3, or 4 unique strengths that I bring to the table as an individual, as a leader. I wonder if that has mirrored your experience as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, on a really broad level, I think as humans, we are hardwired to see deficits. I think that is how our ancestors survived, right? You had to like look at the jungle and assess the threats, right? Like the people who didn't do that, like did not go on to, you know, have children and be an ancestor, right? So I think that that's part of how we're hardwired as humans. And I think that that's also natural as leaders. I think there's a lot of messages out there that, by the way, are important about being humble and being aware of where you have to grow and what's different. But I think what really attracted me and made me help thinking about strengths is that, you know, there can be a cycle when we start to think about our weaknesses that can feel frustrating. We can feel, you know, often the things that we're working on as adults are things we've been working on since elementary school, right? And so they're just, it's just hard for us for whatever reason. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And I think that many years ago, I participated in a Gallup strengths training when I worked to Teach for America, and I ran their institute and had lots of 650 teachers we trained and did all this work through layers. And we did this strengths assessment. And it was the first time I had ever professionally been asked to say, like, look at what you do well. And now think about how you aim those strengths at your challenges. And it's not that my challenges changed, right? I still had a poor performing team member. I still had challenges with some of our district partnerships. But instead of looking at that and feeling like, oh, why aren't I doing enough? Or I just wish I could figure this out. I could say, hey, I do have these strengths and I can aim these strengths at this challenge. And all of a sudden I'm in a place of feeling invigorated and being more in flow and feeling more energized. And so I think that when we think about ourselves as humans, we have limited time and limited energy. And so I think that what Gallup says is, look, you can put that energy into developing your weaknesses and it will improve. You will improve, right? But if you put those same energies into developing your strengths, there's like a tenfold return on investment. And so because you're working with the same ingredients, right, of time and energy, why not pour those into your strength? And then you not only will be able to have a, you know, huge return on investment, you will also be able to aim those things, strengths at your challenges, and like be in a place where you just feel better because you're doing what you do best. And so often what we do best as leaders is like not even apparent to us. Like it just is the way we see the world. Everyone is like this. Everybody does this. No. It's actually you. And I think the strengths assessment does a good job of identifying those areas that you specifically thrive in.
You mentioned the strengths assessment. We're all familiar with, there's tons of different assessments that are out there, and listeners may have taken the DISC, or they may have taken, any number of other Myers-Briggs, any number of other assessments that are out there. Talk to us a little bit about what is the Clifton Gallup strengths assessment? So for those who may not be familiar
with itself,
what is that tool?
Yeah. So I think that it's research based and started in the 50s, right? When they started saying like, what do we know about what people do well and where does this come from? And so, you know, Gallup, the research organization, has like, I just picture like huge halls of libraries of books and right, like researchers at desks with pocket protectors figuring this stuff out. And they came out with the strengths assessment, I believe in the late 90s. And basically said, hey, it's like maybe a 60 to 80 question assessment. It'll have a statement. And then you have to say, does that sound a lot like you? Neutral, not like you. And you just answer questions like these. And they're pretty easy. They'll say things like, I need a lot of context to understand what's going on. Or in my free time, I like to imagine the future. And like, it's not, there's no judgment attached. Just, is that you? Is it not you? And they put into their magic machine and spit out this report that says, here are 34 strengths and here's where you fall. And your top 5 strengths you probably use every day. Your top 10 strengths you're using several times a week. And then it groups all 34 strengths into 4 domains: execution, strategic thinking, relationship building, and influencing. And so you can kind of see which domains are more prominent. And I find that when I do this, people are often like, oh yeah, I've always been someone who's like more of a relationship person. And so I'm not surprised to see 3 of my top 5 are relationship building. And we can dig into that. So I did the Gallup Coaches strength training. It's like maybe 45 minutes, my goodness. It's 45 hours of in-depth knowing all the strengths. How do they work? How they interact? What's different about them? And then what does each strength need? And what does each strength bring to the table? And how can you as a leader help pull that out in people so that they can be in a place of operating in their strengths? So you get, you know, your output. Sometimes you can get a top 5 report that just has your top 5. I actually prefer that my clients start with that, because anytime somebody gets the full 34 report, they will send it to me to review before our session, and they will inevitably make a comment like, oh, I always knew 34 was the worst. I've never been consistent. I hate meeting other people. Communication, I'm so surprised. And it's like, okay, right. Slow down. This is actually not about your bottom 5. This is about how do you take your top 5 and use those to get to where you want to go to meet your challenges.
That's exactly the next question I was going to ask you, Beth, is that when you look at a report like that, and it's the same with other assessments that are ranking your strengths or your weaknesses or your challenges, when a leader obtains a report like that, do you encourage them to focus on, let's see, how can we enhance those top 5 strengths? Or is the goal to look at strengths 31 through 34 and say, how do we bolster those? What does a leader do with a report like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing I always tell people is, you know, take your time and read it. And I always say, I like to print it out because, you know, star what makes sense, question marks if it doesn't sound like you. And what I always ask people, because you can take it on your own, you could go buy a copy of StrengthsFinder, you could buy a code online at Gallup now, you could take it and you can read it. I typically use it with my coaching clients or folks I'm working with who are maybe trying to make some other cultural changes. And so we'll do a debrief and some coaching sessions around those results. And I always say, like, does it sound like you? A, right? Like, does this sound right? What really reminded you of yourself? What was different? Did you maybe expect to see some things there that you didn't? And what I can offer, what any certified Gallup strengths coach can offer, is the ability to kind of offer the perspective that goes with those 45 hours and understanding how these things interact and where this might show up as this, what might be hard for you. One of the things I love about it is that I'll look at someone's report and maybe I just met them, but I'll be able to say things like, well, you really enjoy working hard with friends towards a goal. And they'll be like, we just met. How do you know that about me? I'm like, because you're a relator. And that's how relators work. And I work with a lot of relator strengths, and a lot of relator strengths need this, and they need one-on-one time. So are you getting one-on-one time? No, I'm in group meetings all day and I feel so drained. Okay, well, we need to think about, is there a way to think about getting some one-on-one time in? Because that will feed and bolster you in a way that you need, because this is part of who you are as a relator. It's always part of a bigger puzzle, right? There's always your own personal background, introvert, extrovert. There's like a million, and I love all these quizzes. I think that it helps self-awareness and self-knowledge. But what I love about the strengths assessment, and the reason I decided to get certified in it, is because it focuses on what you do well. And I just think that when you spend time in your strengths, you feel happier. And often in our minds, we think like there's a certain way to do this. Like, oh, this is what a great executive director looks like. This is what a great board member looks like. And the reality is there's like lots of different ways to be a great ED and be a great board member. Just like there's lots of great ways to be a teacher or a doctor. But if you're somebody who is more relationship building, the way that you look is going to look different than somebody who has more strengths in executing or more strengths in strategic thinking. And so how can you think about, instead of being like, I'm a relationship building, I have a lot of relationship building strengths and I'm trying to plug myself into the strategic thinking hole and be that way, how about I lean into my relationship strengths, because I'll be able to be far better at that than ever trying to kind of be an imitation of somebody else's strengths.
I think, and we've just talked about kind of the benefits for the individual. I know a lot of the work that you do with the strengths assessment is also with teams. And I think in my experience, we think about these assessments less often when it comes to our broader team. So whether it's an executive director in their his or her senior leadership team or his or her board, there's value in collectively taking an assessment like that and then talking about how do we relate to one another as a team. If there are dysfunctions or conflicts or issues that we're experiencing as a team, how might what we learn from that assessment interact with or help us to understand those in a different way? So if you could maybe address kind of the benefits of a team taking an assessment like the strengths assessment together.
I think it's really powerful. I did it with my own team when I ran a small charter school network in Chicago. And it's powerful because it gives people a common language, which is always useful in any dimension of whatever you're doing as a team. Two, you're asking people to spend time thinking about what they do best. So everybody likes that because everybody has a place to shine. And then three, you're able to help build people's knowledge of what other people do best. And so you're able to look at the person next to you and say, oh, so they're really go, 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 and always want to get through that checklist. And I want to sit back and think about the problems. And now I can understand that I have more strengths in strategic thinking and they have more strengths in executing. There is some tension there, but actually think of how strong it makes our team. Because if our whole team was like me, right, we would never get anything done. If our whole team was like them, we would just be doing, doing, doing without the strategy. And so I think it helps lead to discussions. And I'll often do development series with teams like over a couple of months or for a half day. You know, where we'll do some of like what the assessment's about, what it can mean, and facilitate discussion where people are able to have these ahas and think about how does this help me know each other. And so I think that, you know, one group I've worked with is the Girl Scouts. I work with a branch of the Girl Scouts overseas, and we've done some PD for them for their team retreats. And we'll kind of meet once a month over three or six months for an hour. And it is unbelievable to me because, you know, we'll talk about how leverage strengths, and people will, you know, print out the grid or make some action steps, and they'll come back a month later and say, oh my gosh, this process that was a nightmare last year was so much better this year. Because when I went into this, I said, okay, I need someone who's got this. I need someone who's got this. And they're able to call on people to help with their strengths. So I think that it is, you know, when I did it in my own school, I sometimes would do it. And then I would think, you know, be the beginning of the next school year. And I'd think, oh, we did it last year. Do we need to do it? And I finally started to learn, we're just going to do it every year because we always have a few new team members. We always have all our experiences of the last year to bring to bear on strengths. We can always get deeper in our understanding. And nobody, it was the only meeting I could guarantee nobody would ever complain about, no matter how long it was. It could be the whole day. People were like, oh yes, my strengths are very important to talk about. So, you know, you get like some extra bang for your buck there because not only are you doing all these great things for your team, people are feeling really good about it, feeling really valued, and feeling really seen, which is really lovely as well.
It also, as you mentioned, it helps you think about the composition of your team. So particularly for nonprofit leaders who are thinking about whether it's the composition of their senior leadership team or they're in a board recruiting cycle. Board members are rolling off. Board members are being recruited. We sometimes run the risk of falling into that echo chamber of, well, I want marketing skill or I want legal skill. Mm-hmm. We fail to think about some of those broader dynamics of how is this person going to show up in the boardroom? How are they going to show up in our leadership staff meeting? Right. I think an assessment like that helps identify where are our strengths, but also where might there be some gaps or where might we be a little bit out of balance in other areas that could bear on how we recruit future leaders.
Totally. And hiring too. I mean, I think that we do a grid as part of any teamwork, and it's always so helpful to see, because I think you can see, and sometimes people will want to like check off every strength. And look, sometimes you're a small team. You don't need five people to have all 34 strengths represented, but you can see, oh, we tilt heavily this way, or you tilt heavily that way. And I think that it really helps. There's one strength called woo that's about really the desire to make a stranger a friend. And everyone loves a woo on their team. You want one on your board. They're going to go to the dinner. They're going to talk to everyone. They're going to tell about your mission. They're going to do this. Like, we can't have all woos, but we can have some. And I always sent that person to the job fairs. I was like, please go meet some prospective staff members. You love this. And they loved it. They felt appreciated and valued, you know, and it worked for the organization as well. And so I think that that is a really helpful place. And it helps managers. I sometimes do training for managers. It's about, how do you lead your team with strengths? And how do you think about, I have one person on my own team who's very execution and the other who's very relationship. And the way that I approach each of them and their check-ins is just slightly different, right? In a way that I think helps them be their best selves, which is, of course, really helpful.
Beth, I appreciate you taking the time to join us for the conversation today. For those who want to get more information about your work, about the strengths assessment, about the value of working with a facilitator in some of these dynamics and in some of these assessments, what is the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So they can go to my website, BethNapleton.com, which, if we can include in the show notes, would be great. Or I can spell, as I do for every pizza delivery person ever. BethNapleton.com. I have a video on there. I have a bunch of resources on strengths coaching, particularly. I also have a leadership quiz. So sometimes leaders like to take that. What do you need most as a leader? Which is not necessarily strengths focused, but all of my work is infused with this perspective, because I really do think, you know, whether you're doing strategic planning or board recruitment or ED evaluation, you know, how do we start with what's working and build from there? Because I think as humans, we see what's not working so easily. Often we're getting outside help because something's not working. And so it's, yes, we want to acknowledge it. It doesn't mean we never work on that stuff, but let's also pay some attention to what we do well and lean into those to help us attack these problems.
Beth, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. For those of you who are listening and enjoying the podcast, highly encourage you, share it with your friends, your colleagues, your coworkers, as we continue to grow this nonprofit vision community. Beth, thank you again, and everybody stay safe and stay well.
Thanks for having me, Greg.